Who's your daddy?
He rich.
Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time?
Yo, what's up, people? Another episode of the Duke of the Right. It's an episode. I got a lift now. Okay, this is episode 14. Coming from you live. Well, not live, but live from Midtown Manhattan. Basically, the capital, the shit capital of the world, the tourist capital of the world, the liberal capital of the world, the pothole capital of the world. Sucks. I don't know about you people, but I am fucking done hearing about this coronavirus. I'm so done. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of it because it really, I'm not downplaying it, all right? It's obviously a new virus that it's scary. Nobody really still knows exactly what it is. Nobody knows exactly where it came from. Look, there's another fucking person with a mask. Like, no, it's unknown. And that's scary to people. I mean, it's scary to everybody. It's a little frightening to me as well, you know? But, I mean, I don't know. My first reaction was, okay, let's look at the numbers. Let's see how the numbers are. How many people, what's the mortality rate? What's the survival rate? That's the thing that I look at. And in the United States, because, you know, looking at these death rates in different countries, it's very different. We got better technology. We got better medicine. You know, we got better conditions in our hospitals too, you know, because we're number one. And we're fucked up too. But, you know, I'll take our healthcare over any other countries any day of the week. And I'm sure everybody would too. And if you wouldn't, you're very uneducated and you just hate this country so much. You probably love Bernie. You probably want to blow Bernie. You know, you probably fucking hate your dad, you know, that was mean, but true. Stereotypes do have truths to them, not all, but they do. People don't get that. People think that for some reason, the truth in this country is frowned upon now. You know, you're not allowed to be truthful. Look at that. I think Preda Main just closed. They're fucking up the economy. They're fucking everything up. And they're doing it for a reason. Trust me on this. And I say this because they tried to take down Trump with impeachment. They failed miserably. They tried to take him down with Russian collusion. They failed even worse. So my thing is, my opinion, I should say, is, well, I don't know. It seems to me that, you know, they really are desperate, so desperate that, you know, this is kind of like their Hail Mary attempt to get Trump out of the White House. I don't know, man. I think they started to realize that there's really not much they could do to get him out of the White House, right? They can't impeach him because he did nothing wrong. He didn't collude with the Russians. You know, he did everything the way he was supposed to do, you know, and they don't like that because Trump goes against what politicians have been doing for the last 40, 50 years, right? He said it from the gate. Basically, from when he walked down the escalator, he said that he wants to shake up Washington. He wants to drain the swamp because all these politicians, all these presidents that have been in the government in the last almost half a century have been doing things that have been so wrong and so against the American people that he was sick of it. And they've been getting away with so much shit for so long that he couldn't stand for it no more. That resonated with a lot of people, including myself. You know, besides his personality, that was one of the main things. And you know what? None of us knew for sure if that's what he would do, but we all took a big gamble on this guy because he was talking like no politician has really ever talked in our lifetimes. The shit that he says, that and he said in his campaign in 16, no politician would ever dare talk like that. And I think that's why so many Americans like him. Because, you know, what always comes to mind is he is the voice of the American people that we say, you know, that the way that we talk, the things that we say in our homes. And I say that because a lot of the shit that he says is what my father has said over the years about the government, about, you know, how to run the country and stuff. And, you know, it was always like, yeah, but that'll never happen. Nobody will ever say that because, you know, we accepted the facts. We accepted the fact that these politicians, they'll never actually be for the American people. They don't see it the way that we do, you know. So we never really had that relation with these presidents and politicians. So that's why having President Trump, or having Trump all of a sudden come in the race and start talking like that and start saying the shit that we've been saying for so long, that it hit home to millions and millions of people. And that's what got him elected. And what annoys me is when you have Republicans, Trump supporters actually, who say, I wish he would stop tweeting. I wish he didn't tweet so much. Fuck that. I want him to keep tweeting. I don't want him to stop. Because that's what got him elected. And there's a reason why he's the most transparent politician, the most transparent president in the history of America. Whatever he thinks goes right on Twitter. And that's what America needs. Because the last few presidents, at least, nor my lifetime, they weren't transparent. Not even close. Not even close to Trump. We never knew what was really going on. You know, they knew what to say to the American people to appease everyone and then do what they want behind closed doors. And the thing is, we knew what was going on. But what are we going to say? We're powerless. That's exactly what the forefathers didn't want to happen. And I always say this. The government works for us, the American people. It's not the other way. And it's been the other way for a pretty long time. They did what they want with really no pushback. Because, you know, they say what we want to hear, quote unquote. And that's it. That's the name of the game. We kind of accepted it. And the American people are fed up with that. And here comes Donald Trump, you know, a guy who was never a politician, a guy who was different, you know. He was a real estate mogul, you know, a billionaire, but a self-made billionaire who was originally loved by many, many people. So I truly believe that Trump is, he's meant to be here for a reason. Now, could you imagine if this happened under Obama's watch or Hillary or even fucking Jeb Bush, the country would explode. It would explode. Because right off the bat, the economy would not be nearly as good as what it is, right? So if all of a sudden, you know, let's say the Dow, for instance, was only up to 21,000 points, right? At its peak. You know, in reality, at that point, what it really was 29,000 when coronavirus really hit. So the Dow is now down to 21,000 in real life. It's like an 8,000 point drop in, what, 3 weeks? Now, I'm not saying that it would drop 8,000 points if we were originally, if we never made it to 29,000, but I don't know. I think the economy would be in much worse shape because the job numbers are higher than ever. The unemployment rate is lower than ever in so many different ways. The black unemployment, the Hispanic, the woman, I mean, even the disabled, like, it's just, it's something that no other president has done, especially to his magnitude. And when you have jobs, that's usually a good economy, when people are spending money because they got money, you know? There's so many good things about this economy. And that's why, knock on wood, we didn't go into a major depression yet. Now, don't get me wrong. The economy's taking a hit, a big hit. I was just in Manhattan. It's a fucking ghost town. It's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock right now. At night. The city should be packed with people leaving. I didn't hit an ounce. The only traffic I hit was on the BQE heading to Manhattan. Which, that'll always happen, even if there's an apocalypse. There will still be fucking traffic over there. But other than that, smooth sailing. That's scary. I don't like it. The stores are closed. You can't. I was just in a Starbucks, right? Another kid comes in and he's like, listen, you know, I work down the street, but I'm not allowed to hang out in there on my break. And the girl who works at Starbucks said, stop right there. You can't stay here either. So nobody's even allowed to sit down in these places. You see, it's really fucked up. The whole city is a dead zone. It's a ghost town. And I'm sorry, but in my opinion, I mean, you look at the states that are doing this, right? You got New York City, you got Jersey. You got New York State, New Jersey, Connecticut, California. They're doing these fucking major lockdowns of the city. They're closing the whole fucking school system. They're giving curfews out. Nobody could step foot in the restaurants. The nightclubs are closing. In other words, people aren't going to be spending as much money. And you got to wonder, is this genuinely for people's protection and for people's well-being? Or is it basically a coup, an attempt to trash Trump's raging economy in the hopes that he can't use the economy as one of his big talking points anymore because we'd be in a depression or a recession? It could be both. So that's really one of my main theories. And the reason why it does make sense is because the Democrats in the last few years have shown their desperate attempts to get, they want him out so bad, they're willing to do something like this. I really wouldn't put it past him. Now, this is not to say that the coronavirus is bad. I don't know. From the outside looking in, it looks like the Black Plague, right? But when you dig just a little bit, and you look at the facts, you know, something that really doesn't happen anymore, and you look at the death, the mortality rate of this virus in America, and you see the mortality rate is 2.1%. The survival rate is 98%. And you say to yourself, well, how the fuck are people literally losing their minds? Cities, whole cities, the biggest city in the country, one of the biggest in the world, is practically shutting down over a virus that has a 2.1% mortality rate. What, where is the sense in that? This is why I have my theory. They know that people aren't really going to look at that unless you're like me, who is skeptical about every fucking thing, right? I talk to a lot of people, you know, some people think kind of like me, it's fucking all hysteria. I mean, they're all saying, oh, it's crazy, hysteria, this and that, but a lot of them are genuinely scared. They're genuinely scared. They're not going to go online and go look at the death rate, you know? They're not going to do that. But what they are going to do is they're going to listen to CNN, MSNBC, and they're going to be told that this is a pandemic. Stay in your house. It's really bad. All this crazy shit. I mean, it's no secret that, you know, scare tactics is a very well-known tool that the media uses and the government. You know? It's used with, in the simplest version, with snowstorms. They freak people out. There's going to be a snowstorm of the century. You're going to be locked in your house for weeks on end. You got to stock up. So then people, millions of people run to the store and spend $400 on shit they'll never use. Or overstock their fridge for a fucking blizzard that happens that throws 6 inches on the ground. It's for consumerism. So those are the most innocent forms. They're not innocent, but compared to this, they are. Now this, it's driving up consumerism tenfold, right? But now it's stopping people from spending money. So it's like, it doesn't make sense. And that's why I'm thinking that it really has something to do with the left pushing this agenda, because they're all in cahoots with the media, genuinely scaring the shit out of people and out of investors. That's the big thing. The Dow dropped 3,000 points today. 3,000 fucking points. I think it was, what, 13%, 14%? That's a big fucking drop. Considering it was at 29,000 points in the beginning of the month, about 5 weeks ago. And now it's at 20,000. Come on. Something sketchy is going on here. And you know, I'm not buying it. I'm not fucking buying it. And people could think I'm an asshole. I don't really care. But I'm not saying that the whole virus is bullshit. I'm taking my precautions. You know, just don't be an idiot. Wash your hands. Like I said, don't suck on a fucking doorknob. Don't fucking, you know, try not to go into crowds, big crowds. I mean, during flu season, what do? We take extra precaution. Because the flu is 10 times worse than the coronavirus. The coronavirus may be more contagious, but the mortality rate of the fucking flu is crazy. 20,000 people last year, more than that, died from the flu. In America, by the way. Okay, let's see. So, my gym, Jersey Strong, just gave me an update, right? COVID, I'm reading it now. COVID-19 update. Effective 8 p.m. tonight, March 16th, all clubs are temporarily closed until further notice. Please follow us on Instagram. So now the gym is closed. It's crazy. It's crazy. Not like I really even go. It's like you want to tell these people, you know, what you really believe. But you don't want to sound like an asshole. Not that I really care. But like, I don't know. People are freaking out for no reason. Be vigilant. Be a little extra cautious. What more do you fucking want? I truly think that this is a plot to destroy Trump's economy so people won't elect him in 2020. Or at least, you know, okay, I'm not going to deny that the coronavirus is real. That would be stupid. Obviously, it's a real thing. Whether it was made, whether it was manufactured in a fucking lab in China, or it was from someone eating a fucking bat soup. I believe it's a real virus, and I think that it really, you know, it sucks. Nobody knows a cure. There's no vaccine yet that they're working on, though. But I think that all this extra hysteria is fake. I think it's being pushed by the left-wing media, which is the media, basically because they're in cahoots. They're on the same page. They all know that one of Trump's biggest victories is the economy. One of them. So they know that if the economy tanks, then he's going to lose something that he could really talk about. And that's one of the biggest things. So they're taking it and running with it. Even if it happened by accident and they realized it, they're going full force. And that goes to my theory also, that the left, they don't care about America. They don't care about the American people. In fact, they hate us because we're in their way of being fucking powerful. Just what Bill Maher said. He wants the country to go in a recession under Trump's watch. Think about that sick fuck. You gotta be a real scumbag. So you want people to suffer, lose their homes, get divorces, jobs, you know, sometimes suicide. So you want all that to happen. So one of your cronies could take control of the country. And I think he speaks for a lot of the Democrats, or at least the elites. But they'll never say it, obviously, because that would be pretty fatal. But here's the thing. I'm sorry to say, but these leftists, the citizens, they're so fucking stupid. But they would still vote. They'd be like, well, it's still better than Trump. You fucking idiot. I mean, look at Ralph Northam. Was he the governor of Virginia? All the left did for a while was expose Republicans who wore blackface in college 40 years ago, right? I don't even know how many. I don't think there were even that many. And he was a part. And all of a sudden, a picture of him as a KKK member and then in blackface too or something like that. And nobody fucking went after, I mean, the right-wing media went after him, but that's about it. It died. It died in the water. That was it. Justin Trudeau. Blackface. These people are not right in the head. They're not right in the head. They want this country to burn. They're power hungry. And Trump is doing what he can to expose them. And you know what? He's getting beat up. I mean, I shouldn't say he's going to be. He's taking his lumps. But he's still standing strong. And he's going to stand strong. So we got a real man as president. You think Obama will be able to take this criticism? Never in a million years. Bush? Absolutely not. Clinton? We should count our blessings for having President Trump as our leader. Because with anybody else, in this time, it'd be very scary, trust me. All right, I'm tired of talking about this coronavirus. I think it's bullshit. I think the hype is all manufactured by the media, by the left, by the deep state. And I don't really, I can't even talk about it anymore. It's consuming everybody's lives in this country. It's really sad. It's hurting the economy. It's hurting the stock market. It's hurting people's fucking, you know, their souls in a way. Like, you're sucking the life out of these people because everybody's got to be so afraid. That's all we talk about. So I'm done talking about it for the remainder of this show. But what I did want to mention, now, I'm not going to really go deep into the debates last night with Bernie. It was last night from Bernie and Biden. I don't want to go into that because, you know, it's really just, at this point, watching them two duke it out like two old fucking men is just comedy to me. It's comedy in one way, but in another way, it's really sad. It's sad. So, one thing I did want to comment on was when Joe Biden said that he's gonna, if he becomes president, he's gonna make sure he elects a woman as vice president. Now, why didn't he just say that he's gonna pick the most qualified person? Why do you have to pander? This is the problem with the Democratic Party. This is why I believe that the left, they're the real racist people. They're the real bigoted people, the real sexist people. All they do is use identity politics. That is literally their whole game. Really? You're going to make sure you elect that you, select a woman as vice president? Like, it really fucking matters. I mean, what, like, that's such a pander. It's such a desperate attempt to get the suburban white woman on, you know, on your side. Like, you would think that people would use their brains and be like, how about you just use, you know, the merit system where you find the most qualified person, whether that's a man or a woman. Why does it have to be a woman? You know, what if there was someone who was way more qualified that was a man? Would you still pick the woman who was not as qualified? That's the problem. Like how they, you know, the big one. We're gonna get the first African American woman on the Supreme Court, and this and that. Like, okay, if she is the best fucking Supreme Court nominee or whatever you call it, then absolutely, who gives a shit what color she is? But it should be on merit. It should not be on color of skin. What did Martin Luther King always say? Judge people not on the color of their skin, but the content of their character. That's why the King family, Martin Luther King's, you know, relatives are not Democrats. Why they like Trump. Because Trump doesn't play identity politics. Because that's exactly what MLK was against. He was against it. He is rolling in his grave right now, seeing what the Democrats are doing. And using him, using Martin Luther King, you know, as I guess, a, you know, promote, like, kind of, they kind of took ownership of Martin Luther King. I mean, they already took ownership of the black community, right? I'm sorry to say, but they basically own the black community, which also basically means that blacks are still slaves. They're still slaves to the Democratic Party. They have no choice. They have to vote Democrat. And if they don't, they get verbally abused. They get beat up. They get basically canceled from society. Like, a lot of these black people, they don't come out right away as they don't make it. If they live in a black community, for instance, let's say the Bronx or Brooklyn or Chicago or Detroit, most of them, they will not come out and say that they are Trump supporters. No way. Because they'll get killed. That's how bad it is. By their own fucking people. And then, I've seen this plenty of times, where you have these white leftist cocksuckers, right? Who see a black Trump supporter, and then they scream racial slurs at them. Think about that. I really have never seen someone with a MAGA hat scream a racial slur at a black Democrat. I've never seen that. Maybe somebody has, but I never did. But you will see these white liberals, white leftist progressives, scream racial slurs of all sorts at black conservatives. Which just exposes their hypocrisy and their lies. And it also shows us as Americans that they are the real racist. That they are the most intolerant human beings in this country. And if you're only tolerant to people that think like you, you're not tolerant. That's totally the opposite of the word. Tolerance is basically accepting somebody else's different, you know, opinion that's different than yours and still respecting him and acknowledging that they're still a human being. Respectfully disagree. That is tolerance. But the left doesn't have that. You go to Antifa rallies. If you dare go there with a fucking MAGA hat, you actually have a strong chance that you're going to get severely hurt physically. You might get killed. They use weapons. They beat you up in gangs. I mean, it's just really fucking sick. You'll never, ever see that happen with Trump supporters. Never. That's never been reported. I've never seen that on the news once. And all I fucking do is watch the news and you know, political shows and of all, on both sides. Both sides. I don't just stick to one. I watch them all because I want to see both sides. You know, I don't have that tunnel vision when it comes to that. I want to see what MSNBC has to say, what CNN has to say. I want to see how they lie and how they twist. And that's what they do. Very, very badly. I don't like the pandering. And to be honest, If I was black, right, I would be so fucking insulted if the Democratic Party just constantly pandered to my people. Like, just to get votes. I mean, at this point, isn't it a little obvious? Aren't they starting to realize that, like, it's not genuine, that it's just to get votes because they're power hungry? They don't really give a fuck about you and your black community and your Hispanic community and the LGBTQ, IOPWXYZ community. They don't give a fuck. They just want your votes. And if you ask me, what really, you know, verified that for me was when the illegal alien conversation came up. And when they all said, yeah, sure, we'll give illegal aliens, we're all for giving illegal aliens free health care. You know, when they were asked that question at the debate and they all raised their hands like sheep, they were all looking at each other like, oh, yeah, me. And then you hear the stupid people cheering in the audience. And then the driver's licenses thing, right? That's another one. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Because they want the power. They want the votes. Because they've always been power hungry. They have always been desperate for power. That's why they are elites. They don't care about the little guy. They don't care about the American people, the citizens. They just want power. And that's why when I hear people say, you know, all the Democrats, it's getting divided, you know, socialism and democracy. No, it's both social. They're both socialist. The Democratic Party, even the ones that don't like Bernie, they're both socialist. But the Democrats, they know that Rome wasn't built in a day. They know that they just can't come out straight up and say, yeah, we're socialist and we're going to change this country overnight. It doesn't work like that, really. It doesn't work like that in a country like America, where the people are well-educated on socialism, where we don't want it. We're not desperate for it. You know, these countries like Cuba, you know, they didn't know. They didn't really have a knowledge of socialism or anything like that. They weren't totally against it. You know, they didn't know the evils of it. And, you know, Castro comes in and turns it upside down and, you know, thousands and thousands of people died because of him, you know. But America, we know we've been against socialism for almost a century, fiercely. So the Democrats know that, and that's why they've been slowly doing it under everybody's nose, you know. That's their whole thing. They know that it could not happen overnight, so they slowly start chipping away in America. While Bernie, they don't like Bernie because Bernie comes right out and says, yeah, I'm a socialist. Yeah, I support, you know, things that Castro did. I honeymooned in the USSR. I praise all these terrible, terrible countries, these socialist countries, because they got the, everybody goes to school when the healthcare, you know, like, so at least he's out in front. But they know, the Democrats, they know that they can't get away with that. They know that that won't win over the American people. So they do it more sneakily. They sneak it. They do it under the radar, very slowly and methodically. They're both socialists. Power-hungry people tend to be socialists. Capitalists, the more people that are successful, the better. Right? Think about it. So the more people that have money, the more spending that will happen. So that's why capitalists, they want you to get rich. They want you to make more money so you could buy more of their shit. That's why capitalism has brought more people out of poverty than any other system in the history of the world, because it's a system that encourages everybody to be wealthy. Socialism doesn't do that. Socialism wants everybody to make nothing, everybody to make the same. No merit, no incentive to do better. I think that's a pretty good explanation of capitalism versus socialism. So would you rather live in a world where the political system in your country encourages everybody to be wealthy, self, you know, independent, and, you know, free, just freedom, not having the government involved in your everyday life, where you decide your own destiny, you're in charge of your own destiny, where you could be successful, but you have to work for it, compared to you don't have to really work to be successful, because there is no successful. You're just the same. You do the same as everybody else. You make the same amount of money. Nobody's better than you. Nobody's worse than you. So for the simple-minded idiot, that sounds, oh, it's great. You know, we can all live in harmony, man. You know, everybody's the same. There's no competition. You know, like, so in theory, with a brainless idiot that probably just smokes weed all day and just a fucking weird hippie, you know, the kids that were bullied in school, that would sound like a great idea, because the ambition is gone. They got no ambition. They just want to sit around and do nothing and just vegetate. And, you know, they want everything handed to them, man. They just want, I just want to smoke my weed, man, and just chill. Like, I don't want to have to work. But the problem with that is, naturally, humans are competitive. That's in our biological makeup. We want to do better than the other guy. So by implementing socialism, that is hurting the human race. That's hurting our biological makeup, what we're about, what we want, our aspirations. That's why socialism is bad, because it goes against how the way we are as humans. Humans are competitive. Humans want to do better than the other guy. Humans want to build, they want to be independent. They don't want to be controlled. And that's why America has always been known for the perfect place for a human. The land of the free. That's why we're free, because the founding fathers knew that in order to achieve, you know, true bliss in a way for humans is if we have freedom, freedom of choice, freedom to do what we want, the ability to really just function as normal humans and be competitive and just work hard and be successful. And, you know, your work ethic reflects on how you're doing in life, you know, and you, how you could turn it around. If you're really going, you're really in hard times, you know, you could work really hard and turn that around, be one of the most successful people in the world. You really can't do that in other countries. And if you can, they copy the American way. That's why we're the pioneers. We're the ones that, you know, introduced this freedom idea to the world. And now it's literally being threatened. We're on the cusp of losing our freedom. I don't know how anybody can be cool with that. I don't know how anybody could still want a guy like Bernie in the White House. And if you look, and I always say this, and people get upset with me, they say, oh, that's not right, you're pointing out, you know, their appearances and stuff. But you know what? Appearance is a lot. All right? Let's cut this shit. Your appearance is very important. If you look like a fucking bum, if you look like you just rolled out of bed, your hair is a mess, you smell, your clothes are wrinkly, you got scruff on your face, you're dressed like a fucking hippie, and if you do that every day, you form like a complex. You become, I don't know, people don't want to hire you. You look like you have no drive. You know, and when you look at Bernie's, you know, supporters, like on his, at his rallies and shit, and you look at the people there, they all look the same. They all were probably, you know, social rejects in school that were just awkward kids. And I'm not hating on them for being awkward or being weird in school. You know, that sucks. When I was in school, I would try to be friends with them because I felt bad. You know, not like I was this amazing kid, but, you know, I felt bad for them because, you know, people didn't like them or people didn't talk to them. I would try to because I think I'm a pretty decent person. I don't want anybody to feel weird, you know. But these were the kids that were just outcasts. You know, they didn't have direction in life or they didn't have a strong family. You know, they didn't have that backbone and they were never a part of anything. So when they find a movement like Bernie's movement or like Antifa, you know, and they look and they're like, oh, they all look like me. They're all rejects like me. I could be a part of something. I could be a part of the revolution. This reminds me of the video games that I would play. And then they join. And then they all feed off each other. They all get worse, you know. And then you have the occasional few that realize that the whole movement is so toxic for the country and for their own individuality, for their own soul. It's so damaging. It's so damaging to be so hateful, you know? And I bring up the video game thing because the way that Antifa acts is like what you would see in a video game, like an Assassin's Creed or one of those, like Fallout, where like you have everybody, you know, you have this revolution with the masks on, all dressed really dramatically in black with all this red rioting and acting militant. Like, this is what happens in fantasy movies and fantasy video games that these kids probably grew up playing because they didn't have friends to go play baseball out in the yard, you know. So they were stuck in the house wishing that this could become a reality. Oh, this is so cool. Like, I feel like I'm actually doing something, you know, and then this happens and it's like, oh my God, this is real. I'm gonna fucking do this, you know. These kids were never a part of anything. They never had, like I said, that backbone in the family, the father to basically smack that out of them. Like, get the fuck out of here. Go to fucking work. You know, be independent. Be confident. Cut your hair. Get dressed. Put a suit on. Clean your face. And go to a fucking interview. Study something. Don't just go to college for fucking 8 years studying liberal arts or art in general, or music, and waste your fucking time. Do something meaningful. These people lack meaning and lack purpose. I think that's it. It's the purpose. I think Dennis Prager was the one that really said that. And he's so right. These people have no purpose in life. They have no meaning in life. And that's why Antifa and the Bernie Bros, it sucks them in because they think that they finally found a purpose to be on this earth. Is to create this fictional revolution that is so, it couldn't be any more false, you know? They're not educated. They might sound educated when you talk to them about something, but they're not. Because if they were on economics, on society, on culture, on America in general, if they were educated on those basic things, the last place they would be is at a Bernie rally or in an Antifa mob. Because, you know, you could see in, like, in history, you have these real revolutions, right, where the government was truly oppressive, truly oppressing their people, killing their people, starving their people, all in socialist countries. And then you get a revolution because all the people are fed up and they decide to fight the government. Now, that's a different story. But the government, they're not oppressing the citizens in America like they are in Venezuela or were in the USSR or, you know, all those other terrible countries. You know, because we're capitalists and we still have the Constitution. And even at our worst, we're still better than any other country in the world. So for them to create this fake revolution, like this country is really oppressing its people, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's completely fabricated. It's an illusion. It's fantasy. Because these kids, they live in fantasy. They live in fantasy land. I mean, they're literally hurting people for saying that there's only two genders. They're actually hurting people physically for saying that there's only two genders, that they like Trump, they love America. It's just backwards. This is the backwards movement. Everything that's normal is now abnormal. And everything that's abnormal is normal. That's their goal. They hate American culture. They despise American culture. And I always direct listeners and even friends, if you want to see Antifa, if you want to see American socialists, if you want to see Bernie Bros in action, just go on YouTube and look up that Democratic Socialist Convention. And that's really all you got to say. That's all you got to watch to really get a good glimpse, a good picture of who these people really are and how mentally retarded they are. They couldn't even get a sentence out without a fucking snowflake standing up and saying, "No, no clapping, it triggers me," or don't use gendered language, or, you know, like, they couldn't even get a full sentence without people interrupting them over these fictional fucking trigger warnings, whatever you call them. It's mental. These kids belong in a fucking, in a psych ward or a nut house. They do not belong on the streets. If you're talking like that and you're serious, there's something wrong with you. You're taking too much Adderall. You're taking too much Xanax. You're smoking too much pot. You're fucking eating too many shrooms. You're watching too much of Bernie Sanders. Something's wrong. Something's really wrong if that's really the way that you think. And if you're genuine, I'm telling you, if anybody did not see that, go on YouTube and type in the Democratic Socialists of America. I guess it would be a convention. You'll find it. And yes, it's fucking hilarious, but it's in the same way, it is so sad and so scary. And you can't help but to feel bad for these poor people. They're so brainwashed. They're troubled. They're troubled young people that really don't have a grasp on reality. They don't have purpose. They don't have meaning. And in America, that's a very important thing. You want to be a part of something, but you want to be a part of something good. You want to have meaning. It comes full circle. Everything is so tied into each other, it's crazy. So you have this movement now where these feminists, these third wave, terrible human being feminists, are encouraging women to not have babies, to get abortions whenever they want, to have, you know, to have multiple boyfriends, to fuck as many guys as you want, to be a whore, to be a slut, to not have a family. That's a big one. They call it a social construct, and they disagree with it. They don't want these women to have families. They don't want them to have babies. They don't want them to have husbands. Mainly because the ones that are saying that, they never had a chance to have one. Because either they were too fat, too ugly, too miserable for any guy to ever be interested in them or even stick their cock in them, you know, so they become resentful. You know, this is how it happens. So, and I truly believe that a woman, one of her main reasons to be on earth is to create a family, to raise children. And when these women, they grow older and older and they go through menopause and they realize that, wow, I didn't have any children. That's depressing. That actually depresses women, because they believe this lie that it's a social construct to have babies and to have a family, and we want to go against that because we can do what we want. We're women. Of course you could do what you want, but you shouldn't discourage having kids and having a husband and raising a happy family. Why would you be against that? You talk to millions and millions of families and millions of moms, and you ask them, you know, what's the meaning of life? And a lot of them will say, well, it's having my children, raising my children, having a family. What's the best thing that's ever happened to you? You say, my kids. I don't understand why that is so, like, discouraged in the feminist community. They lack purpose. When you don't have kids a lot, you lose that. Like, it's, once again, it's a part of biology. It's a part of the human being. You know, women are put on this earth to bring life into this world. And when they don't, it does something negative. It doesn't do anything positive. Okay, great. So you can focus on your career. So then you become a millionaire. Then what? Then what? It's not in a woman's biology to be a whore, to fuck 100 guys a month. Unfortunately, that's men. You know, men want that more. Women don't want that generally. And when you see that there are women that do, they usually are miserable. But when they're by themselves, when they don't have a dick in their mouth, they're sad. And deep down, they want a man. They want a happy family. They want children. But they want to go against the cultural norms. They want to prove that they're this amazing free woman feminist, when in reality, they're killing themselves. They're digging their own early grave. Woman, if there are any women listening to this, and if you're single, and if you're in your 20s or 30s, just listen to me. Don't listen to feminists. They do not care about you. They don't have your best interest in mind. They just want their movement to get bigger and bigger. And they just want to cause hell. They want to cause mayhem. They want to cause disorder and chaos. They don't want camaraderie. They don't want happiness and, you know, satisfaction, and just, they don't want that. They don't have your best interest. Find yourself a man. Get married. Have kids. Have real meaning in life. And the same goes for men. I'm 25 years old. And all I can think about is, I want to have a family. I want to have kids. And I feel like I'm getting older and I don't have a girlfriend anymore. You know, it gets lonely. And I want to have kids and I'm getting scared. I'm like, oh my God, when the fuck is this going to happen? In my head, a few years ago, I would have been married with a kid already. And now that, you know, I'm 25 and I have neither, it's nerve-wracking and it's scary. And I feel like I lack purpose. And I truly do. I'm not just saying that for the sake of this episode. I really do. Although, my heart's in the right place. I know what I want. And I'm concentrating on getting my career started. So when the time does come, I'll be ready financially so I can provide for my family. Because in the end, my goal is to have a wife and kids and bring happiness to them and give them the best life they could ever wish for. That's what drives me. That's the only thing that drives me. Because, okay, so let's say I become a fucking billionaire, but I don't have a wife and kids. Now what? Okay, great. So I could fuck any girl I want 365 days a year. You think Dan Bilzerian doesn't get lonely sometimes, even with 100 girls around him? You don't think he ever thinks about having a family? You don't think when he sees a family, a husband, a wife, and kids walking around Disney World or something, you don't think that something goes on in his head where he feels a little sad? He does. Because just like women, it's in our souls. That's what we're put on this earth for. And when we're denied that, or when there's a movement that's telling us not to do it, it's bad. It's bad. So I truly believe we're going to turn around. I just think that we need more people, more conservatives, more, not even necessarily conservative, but people that love America, people that know that, which know what's really important, what really matters, not these bullshit movements, not your skin color, not your gender, not your sexual orientation, preference, whatever you call it. But what really matters is keeping America free, extending the human race, having a family. That's really all that matters. Bring happiness, true happiness. Take responsibility for your actions. If you're struggling in life, it's on you. You shouldn't blame other people. And you gotta take care of it. You gotta be the one that takes life by the balls and changes something about you, you know? Instead of pointing fingers at other people, at society, at this and that for your failures, look deep into yourself and figure out, what am I doing wrong? What could I tweak to not have this happen to me again? And you take it from there. And you know what? You might end up really helping yourself out, because blaming other people for your problems never gets anybody anywhere. You know, I hate to say it, but look at the black community. That's a perfect example. Unfortunately, a lot of black movements blame the white man, blame America for their own problems. And has it got better? Has it gotten any better in the last 30, 40 years? No, it's gotten worse. It's gotten fucking worse. And the ones that, like, I always bring him up, Ben Carson, you know, he was in a pretty shitty situation, like a lot of these black young men, young boys in the hood. You know, they come from nothing, live in the projects, struggle their whole lives. Looks pretty dark, but you say, you know what? No. I don't belong here. I know that I could do better than this. I have aspirations. And he got out of it, and now he's probably the most successful surgeon in the world. So, and you know, when people get pissed off at other people saying, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, it really is true. Stop whining, quit your whining, look deep into yourself and try to figure out what you could do differently so that you could do better in life, and you take it from there. And that's all I have to say. I hope everybody, you know, got some insight. I hope you're not miserable after listening to me, because it gets pretty doom and gloomy sometimes listening to this, but I hope everybody has a good night. Stay safe. Wash your fucking hands. You know, just be cautious. No reason to flip the fuck out. Just be a little extra cautious. That's all. There's no reason to go crazy. There's no reason to drive yourself nuts. And just enjoy life. Enjoy life. Because you never know what tomorrow's going to bring you. So that's it for episode 14. My next episode will be on Wednesday, the 18th. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Hope you Irish bastards out there enjoy your corned beef and cabbage, because as an Italian, I know I will. Once a year, my mother makes corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day. Never misses a year. One of my favorite dishes ever. And I'm an Italian. And I'll tell you what, she makes a better corned beef and cabbage than probably all you Irish motherfuckers. But I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a Guinness. And enjoy yourselves, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring you. stay positive. And that's all. Good night. Good night, people. Enjoy.